Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Great to have you here today, and blessings to each and every one. There's nothing better than worship for our day, our times, worshiping God, just keeping our focus on Him, our Heavenly Father. He's got our back. He's got it, and He's worthy of praise and worship. So that's what we come to do today, and it'll impact our whole week. We have communion as well. You don't have to be a member of the Covenant Church, just that you love the Lord. You know, you come clean with God at least once in a while, saying, well, sorry for my sins, and you're welcome to join with us at that time. We welcome this morning Adeline Grace Malloy, her mom and dad, her brothers, and extended family. I mean, what a blessing it is to have Addie here today. And this miracle little girl, and I mean, all the prayers, and for you, for the family, and just amazing. What a blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive the blessing of God, the mercy of God. So we look forward to that time. Also, there was another baby born on Thursday, Peyton Julia Gomes, to Jordan Emily, and so we'll make sure we have a rosebud next week. The family might be away, but another great granddaughter for Elsa, Stan, and that on? Yeah. And also for Deb and Muffy Gomes, another granddaughter. So congratulations. Also, you're invited to a time of fellowship following the service. There's plenty of munchies downstairs, and they're packaged items, so everything's safe. And you can fellowship together, connect with somebody you don't know, connect with one another. Even stay up here and fellowship if you would rather do that. Thursday night, we're going to Godspell. Those who are going, you better get a nap that day, because it goes from 8 to 11 in Danbury. No early golf, Jay, on Friday. We've got about 22 gone. Some will be in the van. The van will leave at 7. So we look forward to that. And please, Lord, because if it rains before it starts, we lose our money. If it rains halfway through, we can go to another production. So it'll all work out. Also, take note, August 15th, VBS Summer Night, the second night of that, and come one, come all with all the children and grandchildren, bring neighbors. And also note the volunteers and new leaders needed for our children's and youth ministry. With the Ewers family, are they like 7 or 8 family members? They're in New Hampshire now. So that was kind of the base of the Trailblazers group and leadership. So especially for Trailblazers, but you see the other places that there's a need. Well, let's catch our breath and worship. You'll find one of the hymns will be in the blue hymnal. The other songs are listed in the bulletin. And we stand for our songs, but if you are unable to do that, that's fine. So let us stand together as we continue in our worship.
Come Thank you, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join with me in our call to worship. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Come to him, the living stone, chosen by God and precious to him.
We too, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering acceptable sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. We praise his holy name.
Join us in song number 61 in your hymnals. Morning. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, we come before you, and how good you are, Lord. How good you are that we come together and we worship you and we praise you, Lord. And today you give us new life to celebrate, for you are the creator of all. It's your very breath in all of our lungs, Lord, that gives us life. And we give you praise and honor and glory because you alone are the one who gives us all. We bow down before you, Lord, and we lift our praises to you, Father. And we just thank you for all that you've given us, all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that we see and all the things that we don't see. And we thank you, Father, that out of your sheer, unfailing, unending love, you sent your Son. You sent your Son so that we one day will be face to face with you for all of eternity. And so now, Father, we gather together to worship and honor you with the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verses 16 and 17, and that's found on page 571 of your Pew Bible if you'd like to look it up. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One who trusts will not panic, and I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet. Hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overwhelm the shelter. And our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and that's on page 984 in your Pew Bible. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. For those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As the children come forward for a time of blessing. So kids, come on up for a little time of blessing. Come one, come on. Come on, kids. Come on forward. Thank you. Amen. Well, today, Mario and Nikki Malloy, they bring their daughter, Adeline Grace, to the church for the sacrament of holy baptism. We rejoice in God's promises to each one taking this significant step of faith. Dear sisters and brothers of Christ, as God called and chose his servant people Israel, and he made covenant with them, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people, so in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I'm yours and the people that you have given to me. So today we come to claim the promises of that new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior Jesus Christ, he instituted baptism as a visible sign of covenant making, our washing with water by the word, our habitat in Christ, crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, and our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity, and our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name. Addie has special godparents, Elise Krasnowski and Alan Cebulski. And just in a few minutes, we will have the sacrament of holy baptism. But before we do that, let us remain seated as we sing one of the songs we sing on Baptism Sundays, Children of the Heavenly Father. Baptism's promise and call, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. And remember this, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts 2, 38 and 39 also says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. All right, the making of promises.
Ha 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 ha!
All right, Nikki and Mario, do you desire now that Adeline be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
And proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all the powers of evil, declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel?
We do.
And relying on God's grace, do you promise to teach the word of God to Addie, to pray for her and help her in every way so that she may become a true disciple of Jesus Christ?
We do.
And empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you promise to enable Addie to participate fully in the life of the local body of Christ, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? If so, answer, we do. Alan and Elise, as godparents, do you promise to pray for and support Nikki and Mario and the promises that they have made, as well as to pray for and to help Addie to confess the Christian faith as her own? If so, answer, we do. And how about us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ? The Christian nurture of Adeline cannot be assumed by parents and godparents alone, since we are members of one another in the body of Christ and the fellowship of the church. The responsibility for caring for the newly baptized must be shared by all. In receiving and caring for Adeline, will you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, do your part by word and deed, with love and prayer, to guide and nurture Addie, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and caring for her as one of Christ's own? If so, answer, with God's help, we will. With God's help, we will. Amen. Well, let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John, was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you for the water of baptism. In it we are buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection. Through it we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that this child, Adeline Grace, this child of yours, may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Hi. 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 Adeline Grace Malloy.
Upon you and give you his peace.
She got my earpiece. You're quick, you're good. The Lord bless you indeed, Addie. Oh, hallelujah. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Can we give praise to God today? A certificate for you guys. God bless. Yeah. Go enjoy and serve the Lord. All right? Blessings. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
There's a song in my soul, and I feel it stirring in me. This I know for sure, that your love is like a flood, and your mercy never ends.
Our section of scripture for today, we already heard the last 2 weeks from Pastor Gary Freemuth, the insights that 1 Peter brings us, that believers are called to hope, to be holy, and to love one another. Now, after all those actions to pursue, Peter grounds these recommendations in who believers are. He turns to the issues of identity in our verses today. You are God's idea. Do you believe that? I love realizing it and pondering it, wondering about it. This summer, I've been thinking a lot about transitions and identity. We probably all have been thinking about these things in one way or another. Over the last year of your lives, how has your identity shifted? Knowing your identity is transformative. So stand in front of the mirror when you get home or tomorrow morning and say out loud, "This is God's address." And when you realize it's true, Feel confident in your identity as God's own. Your body is a treasured place where God dwells. Let's pray. Thank you so much, God, for choosing us to be yours. And thank you that we recognize to whom we belong. The best thing about us is that we are your children. Amen. So in our passage for today, Peter presents two images that Jessica read about that represent Jesus Christ: pure spiritual milk and the cornerstone of God's spiritual house. Now, the movement of these images goes like this. Once we taste or experience Jesus, we see him as precious, and we come to him by faith as the cornerstone of which we are then placed as living stones into that structure. So let's first look at milk. How do you feel about milk? As newborn babies, our bodies are capable of taking in is milk. It's the only thing. And mother's milk is liquid gold. Now, I'm not going to spend any time, don't worry, listing the benefits of breast milk. But if you know someone who doesn't believe in God, just do a study about the science and nature of breast milk, and you will know without any doubt that God exists and he is perfect. But what I will focus on today is a baby's need for milk and their cries until they get it. They crave it, and their very lives depend upon it. The Bible uses the analogy of it quite a few times. It's common to humankind and actually the mammal kingdom. Peter is writing about salvation in Christ, and he says, we either come to Christ as a child longs for milk, or we reject Christ. We either believe or we remain in unbelief. Jesus is either exactly what we're looking for, or he doesn't figure into the plans at all. Do you crave Jesus like a baby yearns for milk? If not, why not? And if not, are you willing to get back to that desire you once had or get it like never before? When we taste God's love, we crave the word. Now, I'll admit, because I'm vulnerable and honest, that there are times in my life when I have taken the Bible for granted, and I don't run to it each morning. But I want to, and I know it's for my good. So is time with God and his word a chore for you? Now, that isn't at all like the desperation of a baby hungry for milk. So how can we want to run, not walk, to need and want our time with Christ and get pure spiritual milk? Maybe it's to remember what it was like when we first knew Jesus. Do you remember that? My favorite illustration of this is a true story that happened on a winter retreat in 1979 in Colebrook, Connecticut at Camp Jewel. Reverend Chuck Wysong was the speaker, and on Friday night, he told us about the love of Jesus, as a good youth pastor does. And I remember crying and being so thankful to be among other teenagers and youth groups, because I didn't have my own at my own church, and hearing about the life-giving joy of being a believer and being cherished by God so much that Jesus died for me, Lisa Christina Sundell. After that talk, we all ran outside and found friends and threw snowballs, but suddenly there was a shout from someone somewhere. Good news! Good news! Jesus loves me! And I remember thinking, yeah, and me! But the boy kept at it. He was so happy and he was so persistent in his praise and his shouts. After a while, his counselor must have ushered him to his cabin, and then it was lights out. But early the next day, before the sun rose, before we were even out of our bunks, good news! Good news! Jesus loves me! And later I discovered who it was. He was a young man who was allowed to go on a youth retreat because although he was in his late 20s, his mental age was about 10. And friends, I cannot tell you how that experience has affected me to this day. And I knew then that I wanted to make absolute sure that everyone I knew ever would know that Jesus loves them. I was a freshman in high school, And to this day, many of my friends who were also on that retreat still love and serve Jesus with that same calling. So what can't you wait to share with others? What do you want to tell everyone you know? And what thrills you so much that you even need to tell strangers about it? For me now, it's, so my daughter's pregnant again, and it's going to be my third granddaughter. I'll be grandma to three beautiful, creative, delightful people. I can't really shut up about it. Now, maybe for you, it's getting better after being sick. Maybe it's the most delicious meal you ever had, and you want people to go to that restaurant. Or maybe you're in love, and you just can't stop talking about them. My prayer for us now and into the fall is that it will be about Jesus and worship and Sunday school and youth groups and Bible study. That you're so excited about it and feel so loved and have a sense of belonging that you want others to have it too. I read about this man who has Alzheimer's and doesn't realize he's married to the wonderful woman who visits him every day, but he knows he loves her, and each day he asks her to marry him. How sweet is that? Imagine our love for Jesus so strong that every day we're drawn to him to pray, to worship, to read, to spend time in his presence. Here's a story for you. Makes me sad. Several years ago, park rangers from the Grand Canyon had to kill over 24 mules because they became hooked on junk food left by visitors at the park, like potato chips and cheese curls and candy. Once they got a taste of the sugar and salt, the mules developed an extreme addiction and went to any length to only eat junk food. They ignored the food they needed and went to any length to just... They were in such poor health that they were on the edge of starvation. The junk food caused them to lose their natural ability to digest vegetation. So it is with us. When we ingest thoughts of sweet revenge or bitter treachery or sugar-coated hypocrisy or sour envy or acetic slander, such a diet keeps you from hungering the things of God. So if you want your craving back for the things of God, put away attitudes and actions of the heart that keep you from getting close to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't feel this way, pray to have a ravenous appetite for the Word of God, just like a hungry newborn baby. Now, switching metaphors from milk to stone, Peter shows us that there are two building projects happening. There's a spiritual house in which Christ is the cornerstone, and man's building project that rejects the cornerstone. Now, in this metaphor, rejecting the cornerstone is rejecting the gospel message, the good news. It is said, this story blew me away too, when the Jews built the temple in Jerusalem, because the ground then and now is so holy, there was to be total silence. Now, I don't know a lot about building temples, but I know cutting the stone is probably a loud job, so they had to cut the stones elsewhere and then be transported to the location. Now, one of the stones didn't fit. It was different, and the builders rejected it at first. But then they realized it was the foundation piece. It was for stability and direction for the whole structure, the cornerstone. It was almost rejected by the builders. The Message translation, and that's the translation of the Bible that is by Eugene Peterson, and if you are new to the Bible, get the Message version, because it's actually, other than the NIV, it's my favorite, and this is how what it says in the Message. The workmen took one look and threw it out, but God set it in the place of honor. The Apostle Peter that wrote this reminds us that when we may also be rejected by the world and treated as lower class citizens, but that's not how God sees us. We are God's chosen, called out ones. The world may treat us as non-citizens, but God says we are a holy nation. And once we have the cornerstone set, the foundation, we build. Or rather, God builds. And I love this next word picture from 1 Peter. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. The Message version says that exact same thing, but in this way. Present yourself as building stones for the construction of the sanctuary, vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ's approved lives up to God. So back in June, I was on Monhegan Island in Maine. You all have to go there. That's another thing I'd be all excited about and talk about a lot. But there are beaches and cliffs, and I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly. And there are rocks and waves, and therefore an abundance of sea glass. Now, I understand that sea glass is normal glass from bottles that have been broken and tossed out, but so are we, right? We're broken human people, even though we're normal, and we've been tossed about. And you can see what happens to the glass as it spends time in the sea. The sharp edges are rounded. The shiny glass becomes smooth. The longer and more stressful the experience the glass has, the more precious and more beautiful it becomes. And in some ways, as far as inanimate stones can be, sea glass is active and transforming every minute. Listen to this by Bernadette Knoll. She says, "I want to age like sea glass, smoothed by tides, not broken. I want the currents of life to toss me around and shake me up and leave me feeling washed clean. I want my hard edges to soften as the years pass, not made weak, but supple. I want to ride the waves, go with the flow, feel the impact of the surging tides rolling in and out. And when I'm thrown against the shore, caught between a rock and the hard places, I want to rest there until I can find the strength to do what's next. And when I'm ready, I want to catch a wave and let it carry me along to the next place I'm supposed to be. I want to be picked up on occasion by an unsuspected soul and carried along just for the connection, just for the sake of appreciation and wonder. And with each encounter, new possibilities of collaboration are presented and new ideas are born. I want to age like sea glass. I want to enjoy the journey and let my preciousness be, not in spite of the impact of life, but because of them." Isn't that so good? I have this bowl of sea glass that I picked up from the island in Maine, and I have enough for all of you to take one. So many of us have been through difficult things recently, and all of us were in the same storm of the pandemic, although we each had our own little boats. I love how the author of the poem and the New Testament writer talks about experiencing hardship. Knowing God's by our side, he sees us and he helps us learn from it and carry the knowledge to comfort others when it's their turn to be in pain. Now, this verse refers to Jesus as a living stone, which is an allusion to his resurrection. He is alive. And the original readers of this passage and this whole book were mostly Gentiles, meaning they weren't Jews. They were like us, non-Jews. And they had earlier worshipped idols of inanimate stone, dead and lifeless, having no power to help them. So they would surely understand the contrast between those dead idols and their living Christ. The Bible tells us that the church, big C, meaning all believers, is made up of living stones. That's us, who is set and arranged by our foundation, the chief cornerstone, Jesus. We're a beautiful mosaic of colorful, various shapes and sizes, different shades, some thick, some thin, different ages. Now over here, I have a visual for you. There is a candle in it. I hope those of you who can see it can appreciate the colors and the light. This was made by Janet Ryan Capoletti. And each piece of sea glass and shell and clay are positioned carefully by her, the architect. Each one by itself is fine, but all together it makes impressive art. These living stones offer all that they are to show the whole as a finished piece, and in this case, a candle holder. Be sure not to pick it up after church, for it's cracked and broken in places and no longer sturdy. But it hasn't lost its value to Janet, its creator. She told me that if her house catches on fire, this is the thing she would grab to save from the flames. So what else shapes us, the living stones of Christ's holy church? It's a word called spiritual formation. That's the process by which the Holy Spirit shapes us into the image of Jesus for the sake of others. It aligns our hearts with the heart of Christ, giving us eyes to see what he sees and the love he has for others. Spiritual formation includes things like Sunday school and helping with Alpha or men's ministry, women's ministry, small group Bible studies, meeting with a pastor or a spiritual director, retreats like the one I talked about, or personal or online Bible studies. Because friends, we are commanded to serve by God. He says in various places, feed the hungry, help those in trouble. We are created in Christ for good works. Each should use whatever gift he has to serve others. Give and it will be given to you, and the list goes on and on. But you might say, I'm not gifted in those ways, or I don't have time, or I sleep in on Sundays, or I don't want to. But remember, folks, God will never let you outgive him. And if you feel broken or ill-equipped, listen to this true story. The New York Times ran this article on December 4th in 2017, and it came out of Philadelphia. There was a 400-piece symphony concert at the 23rd Armory Street building. But in this case, every single one of those 400 instruments was broken in some way, some so badly that it was just a part of an old instrument. Others were missing strings, others buttons, others slides, others reeds. You see, the schools with not enough money kept having to use old broken ones in their music program. David Lang conducted this 400-piece symphony for only those instruments to be used to raise money for the music departments of the poorest schools. Now remember, not one instrument worked properly, but with 400 working together, the result was playful and joyous. Side note, you can look that up and listen to it. The lesson from this is obvious. All together, we can make beautiful music. Alone, maybe not so much. We need all of us. So back to Living Stones. I love thinking about it. All we need to do is offer ourselves to the one who loves us most. God will guide and direct and protect, just like the sea glass is tossed around and scraped against rocks and sand and strong waters and debris. Much of our lives just happens to us. It's out of our control. But we trust and we go with it. We pay attention and learn every day in every interaction, every sunrise, every sunset. It doesn't happen suddenly, but one day we can look at each other's lives and see what is formed. And it's beautiful. And when held to the light, like the passage for today says, he who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When the light shines through us, God in us, our past, our trials, our brokenness, it can be used by God to comfort others, to be present with others, to build up, to support. Today we've seen that God is sovereign over all things. He's the one doing everything in this passage. He's building his spiritual house. And he set Christ as the cornerstone. He's setting us, his people, stone by stone to complete this spiritual house. And he's chosen us and set us apart as his people. So what will you do with that information? In the song before the sermon, it says, my soul sings for you. And it says, there is hope in my heart burning bright in the darkness. And I want that for me, and I want it for you. So let's say that as a prayer for us, to crave Jesus like a baby craves milk, and then dedicate ourselves to being that living stone, working together in God's church. Amen.
It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help, that they may lead a holy life. All who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them. All who would walk in love with their neighbors and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways. are invited to draw near with faith to receive this holy sacrament. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, invites us anew to Holy Communion, through which he gives himself to us and leads us into a deeper fellowship with one another. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
Yes. Let us take a moment to confess our sins, to come before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, he loves us so much. He knows everything about us, and he will never stop loving us. So let's just come before him. I will pray a common prayer and then leave a little time of silence for you to, for you and I, for all of us to confess our personal sins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, by what we've done, by what we've left undone. Heavenly Father, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. Take a moment for silent personal confession. Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. The scriptures tell us that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So may God Almighty have mercy on us, forgive us all of our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's number 878 in the back, and if you're able to stand, let us stand together and affirm our faith, confess our faith.
I believe in God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as they were delivered by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the loaf of bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is given for each one of you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." As we come forward, come down center and go back around to your seats, you are now able to come forward and take communion.
And please hold the elements until you return to your seats and we'll partake together.
goodness. Oh, my God. Cool. Yep. How did I miss that? Things go by fast enough without missing one. Hold your elements for just one moment while we pray consecration over these. Pray with me. Our Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts and that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us in your Son, in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your feet, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered in glory everlasting through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Take this bread, his body, broken for you.
And the new covenant in the blood of Christ, drink it, all of you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have opened this table to all who believe and call upon the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have met us here and you have joined us together. We thank you that we can come together and celebrate all that Christ has done for us and come together and celebrate our blessed hope through Christ our Savior. Father, we thank you that you are here and present with us. We thank you that we can come before you, Lord, and we can lay down our burdens and our petitions. So we lift some to you, Father, today. We ask for your hand of healing upon our sister Celeste Bergamo as she suffered a fall and has had some injury to her lower back. We thank you, Lord, that you are with her and your presence is strong and she knows and loves you, Lord. So we ask that you would continue to send your healing touch to her, strengthen her back, give her peace, and give her rest. We lift up our sister, Sandy Berkeley, who fell and broke her ankle and is unable to walk. Lord, we know that you hold Sandy right in the palm of your hands, Lord, and you know exactly what she needs, and we thank you that you are with her. We thank you, Lord, that she is calling upon you and that you are quick to answer. We thank you for a speedy healing of those bones and strengthening on her side so that she will be able to get up and walk and be whole, Lord, just as you created her. And we lift up our brother, Halas St. Germain, Liz Butler's father, who is in the hospital. He's waiting for heart surgery, Lord. We ask for your wisdom to be given to all those surgeons and doctors that would come into this situation, Lord. We ask that you go before him and you prepare the way, you prepare his body, Lord. And we thank you that you are moving and working and that you are there in the midst of a very chaotic and unsure time. But we thank you that your hand is upon him, Lord, and that healing is on the way. We ask that you would give peace and comfort to his family. Help them to turn to you, Lord, as they put their faith and trust in you. Father, we thank you that you have heard our prayers, that you have even answered them right as the moment of we have lifted them up. And we know that you will make good in your perfect time. So now, Father, we're going to come forward and we're going to offer our tithes and our giftings to you, Lord, because we come just giving you just a portion of what you have given to us. Because every good blessing comes from our good Father, Lord. And we want to worship you with just a portion of what you've given us. So take our offerings, Lord, and let it be a sweet smell of incense to you. Let it bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like, during our last song, you can come forward and place an offering or a tithe in our basket right there up front. Now, if you're able, if you would all stand for our last song, which is found in your bulletin. Correction, I'm sorry, I got real excited for the last song, but first we're going to sing our doxology of praise.